God of grace, God of glory, God of splendor, we ask that you will be in our hearts and our minds as we go into your word. Help us glean something new, something fresh, and something personal from the word that we will share this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from actually the Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to begin with that, but I'm also going to take a cue from Stephen Rodriguez, who came to meet with the consistory, and I, as your supervising elder, I was with that. And basically, we had two people read the same passage. But today, I'm going to read the passage from Luke, and I'm also going to read the same account from the Gospel of Mark. Mostly the same, but just a couple of different things. And it just gives another reading of the scripture in someone else's words. So we begin here in Luke. And before this happens, Jesus has actually told the disciples that he was going to Jerusalem and that he was going to be killed and he was going to be raised on the third day. And of course, the disciples had no inkling of what was in store. But Jesus had already basically given them some clues that something was going to happen and it was going to be very different. Starting with Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with them. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not really knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things that they had seen. And from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 2, the same account. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up to a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. I'm not sure how many of you have been to the Grand Canyon. My husband and I went a while back. And if you have ever stood on the edge of the canyon and looked across 7 miles to the other side. What an awesome sight. It's colorful, it's beautiful, it's outrageous. And then you look and you think, wait, I wonder if I could get to the other side. But to get to the other side, you have to go down miles and miles of trail. And you have to cross the river, and you have to go through the valley, and then you have to climb up again to the other side. The journey is possible, but what if that other side was obscured by the fog and you had no idea where you were going? Would you venture into the valley? That's probably how the disciples were thinking. Let's stay here. There's no need to go down. No, we're good here. In our liturgical calendar, today is the Transformation Sunday. That is the mountain, and the valley we are about to enter is Lent. But we're the lucky ones. We know that Easter is at the top of the next mountain. So now that we know that, how will you prepare yourself for that journey? This is what we'll talk about today. The texts I just read are referred to as the Transfiguration story, where Jesus is transfigured or transformed from his humanness into his holiness in front of the eyes of his three most trusted disciples. In order to make sure that the disciples are not confused by what they see, which is a brightness of light and a luminescence from Jesus that defied human explanation, God supplied two heavenly witnesses, Elijah the prophet and Moses, the great leader of the Israelites in the wilderness. God also speaks, using almost the same words that he did to Jesus when he was baptized by John. Do you remember them? You are my son in whom I am well pleased. But this time, we have a command from God that everyone present heard. And there was a little addition. This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. The disciples were most likely wondering what kind of supernatural roller coaster ride they were on. They had traveled the country with Jesus, watching him perform miracle after miracle. And just a few days beforehand, Jesus had revealed to them that he was going to be put to death and then come back to life, which they did not understand at all. And now, they had followed him up to this high mountain to have a colossal eyewitness encounter with God and two of his most powerful prophets. And with that, their first thought was to stay and provide hospitality for Jesus' heavenly visitors. Let's just sit down here and savor this opportunity, Jesus. But of course, Jesus redirected them down the mountain, telling them not to mention anything about what had just happened until after what he had predicted had come to pass. Commentators often refer to this Sunday, Transfiguration Sunday, as a hinge Sunday, one where we shift our sights from who Jesus really is to us to where he is going for us. The hinge analysis imposes the existence of a focal point around which the events take place, and that focal point, of course, is God. And God brought his disciples and us to this mountaintop after being introduced to his son Jesus, here watching him work and hearing his teachings and witnessing his power. And now, still at the top of the mountain, God is sending them and us down to journey through the valleys and the low countries to the next mountain. He has shifted the light from that of Jesus, the person that we know of Epiphany and have learned about through Epiphany, forward in another direction to illuminate us and to shed light on our path to the resurrected Jesus that we know at Easter. But in order to get there, we must travel down the mountain through the Valley of Lent. Jesus walked the disciples down that mountain through the valley of Lent. Jesus walked, and although they did not yet understand everything they had seen, they knew that there was a true divinity now that accompanied them on their journey wherever it would take them. Now, one could feel a bit jealous of the disciples being that close to Jesus and witnessing that divine spectacle. Okay, that's fair. But there's an important distinction from their experience where we as followers of Christ have got it over them in spades. We know what the next mountain is. We know that salvation, our salvation is in Jesus suffering for us. And we know that our sins are forgiven. Our faith and belief in the Word of God makes that so. So our advantage is that the story has already played out for us so that when we do revisit the Lenten journey, we can use what we have learned to travel onward and make it a better journey. In preparation for today's message, I contacted a close friend and elder of our church, Charlotte Bueller. Some of you may know her. Just this summer, she became a certified 46er. She climbed the 46 peaks in the Adirondacks in the last 7 years. I asked her to jot down some of her learnings from her multiple ascents, from the first ones to the last. Her reply was genuine and profound, as only a truly spiritual person could translate this experience. Let me quote from her email back. The journey for me was definitely spiritual. I have always been happiest out of doors. My first two peaks were easy, and I foolishly thought, this is easy, I can do this. The third was the second highest of the 46. And it was a challenging technical climb, and at the end of the day, I'm afraid I was a bit arrogant, thinking, I've got this. I was 70 the next summer, and I realized I had to get serious, or age would become a serious factor, and whether I really wanted to get serious about it. And from then on, it was work. Preparing was crucial, sort of like my spiritual journey, reading hikers' journals and guides and praying, remembering grace and gratitude, sweat and tears, and there were a few of those, she says, mindfulness, counting on others to guide and help when the journey became too difficult to achieve alone, and most of all, being thankful at the end of the day. End of the first quote. The message of Transfiguration Sunday is this, that Jesus was transformed from humanness into holiness, and the disciples were able to experience that firsthand. And through the accounts of the eyewitnesses, God had revealed himself through us, through the life of Jesus Christ here on earth. God has revealed his journey to the cross for the purpose of our salvation, and God has promised that Jesus and the Holy Spirit will always be there to accompany us. And the final lesson comes to us in God's very words to the disciples on the mountaintop. God pronounced Jesus as his only son and commanded the onlookers to listen to him. And with that, God implores us to listen carefully as well for the direction on our journey. Charlotte knew she had to listen and be attentive to the experience of seasoned hikers and was able to prepare better for her journeys up and down the mountains. With the disciples, we now know where we have come from. We know where we are going. We know who is traveling with us, and we have the roadmap to make that journey. A synonym for transfiguration is transformation. Jesus was transformed from his human form into that of divinity. And we can adopt that same transformation when we accept him in faith. Furthermore, we can take on a transformation anytime that we make a change in who we are or what we do. People do it all the time. The gospel story simply sets the bar to do that. The gospel writer Mark has documented for us a moment in time where heaven and earth come together. God's promises met the reality of Christ's presence on earth. We can go down this week's Transfiguration Mountain transformed and transforming because we can travel through the Valley of Lent into the next Easter Mountain. And we can do it with the true knowledge that heaven and earth do meet together in our daily lives. We can be human and holy, just like Jesus has made it possible for us to do. This new enlightened listening can make this upcoming Lenten journey from the mountaintop experience to the mountaintop of the resurrection one of transformed travel with Jesus. Charlotte continued. She said, "I began to realize a pattern. Pain, when I felt it in one part of my body, would eventually work itself out if I kept moving. Doubts, what am I doing here and why? Attending to the journey and not just the goal. The beauty of the moss along the trail and in the woods, the trees, the gentle rain, and the forest sounds. The summit, thanking God for the beauty and gift of being able to sing, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and then I proclaim, my God, how great thou art." She continues, the pattern of rest and nourishment. She says, actually, this needs to be attended to constantly for the ascent and the descent. And finally, she said, realizing that I am only halfway there at the summit. The journey of descent is potentially just as hazardous and arduous, so I must pay attention, be amazed, and at last tell about it. Usually this was to Gary, she said, her husband, and savor one more victory with food, wine, and rest. Thank you, Charlotte. Using the mountaintop visions of both the transfigured Christ and the risen Christ as your tangent line, transformed Christ, risen Christ, you can make this journey through Lent. You can work on embellishing your life as a disciple of God by listening to him. Find your patterns of well-being. Keep moving through the darkness of the valley. Attend to the journey and not just the goal. And thank God at every opportunity. Pay attention. Remember grace and gratitude. Take some time every day to listen to what God has to say to you. Find something that will allow you to arrive at the Easter mountaintop and say, I am a better disciple because of you, Lord, because I was transformed by you at the last mountain. Jesus has been given to us as a traveling companion. God has told us now, listen to him. Keep him with you on your way to the next mountain and show him an added amount of hospitality and attention along the way. The next mountain is totally within our sights. May God bless this word on your hearts. Let us pray. God of transformation, God of light, God of wisdom, We ask that you will be with us as we go down the mountain into the valley of Lent. Help us to listen to you. Help us to be attentive along the way. Help us to arrive at the next mountain, a better disciple of your Son, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.